Joshua 1. You all there? Okay. I'm going to go quick. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses, ministering, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, unto the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given to you. I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even until the great river, the river Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, and be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, and thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And God gave me that word. It has been burning inside of me. I'm so glad to release it and get it out, that because you've sat under this anointing, you are the inheritance. You are the inheritance of him. You are the inheritance of his father. You are the inheritance of people hundreds of years ago. This lineage, now you're under this lineage. You don't need the Campbell name. You've prayed with him. You've prayed with her. You know, her family also has an anointing. This is a double anointing. And what God said is that the children shall be greater. The children. So you look at Pastor Campbell and say, wow, what anointing. You have the same anointing. It is my prayer for West Hudson, because you are my brothers and sisters. Y'all are Campbells now. And what are Campbells rooted in? They're rooted in prayer and worship. I'm going to a church that holds back in worship. It is my prayer that worship flows into the streets of Kearney. It is my prayer that wherever each and every one of you go, that you change the atmosphere. That the atmosphere changes when you walk into a room. Whether it be Walmart, whether it be you get into an Uber car. This morning, I was able to speak to my Uber driver because she was worried about her child. And I said, my mother was a praying mother. And look where I am. You know, so I pray that you walk with the anointing. It's already here. It's already flowing in each and every one of you. It's time to rise up, to take your rightful places. This is not a retirement service. This is a promotion. And you've all been promoted. You don't got no excuse. The teachings are in you. You sat here. The word of God will begin to flow out of your mouth. And you'll remember the things. Put back the cart. I don't know if anybody remembers that. Put back the cart. No? No one remembers? And I do it every time. I feel so convicted when I leave the cart by my car. I'm like, oh, I gotta put back the cart. But that everywhere you go, even you don't even have to open your mouth, that the presence of God is so heavy in your life, and that the anointing is so strong, because I feel it. You guys are used to it. Like, I've been away from it for a while. It's breathtaking. It's amazing. It's my prayer that you just fall so deeper and deeper and deeper in love with God, that this is the house on the hill, the light on the hill, and that every lost and broken soul comes in here, and each and every one of you are going to be able to minister to them with the same anointing, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that you're able to reach those the same. So you have received the generational blessings. You've received the generational anointing, and go with it. All right? And now Pastor Campbell.
Praise God. So let's stand for the benediction. Praise God. Glory to the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. I'm going to ask you, in regards to what my daughter's already said, I'm going to piggyback on that, and I'm going to show you how God works, because what I have to share with you steps to the next level, because it speaks what she was speaking concerning how that God told Moses to go to the other side, and he gave it to Joshua for Joshua to cross over into the inheritance. So And she was talking about the double portion. So you're going to see where God has put in my heart in regards to that. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Okay, so since this is my season, y'all, you got 3 hours to, you know, we're going to sit here 3 hours. Yeah. Praise God. In the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 2, just 2 verses. Listen what the word of the Lord says. And it came to pass that when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to Elisha from Gilgal. Verse 2. And then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And so they went down to Bethel. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this season and for this promotion, for this change and this transformation. But above all, God, I know that your word is transforming. It transforms us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. For you have declared in your word that it is impossible to please God without faith. And we know that, God, your word will not return to you void. So, God, let your word today prosper into that which it is sent. Lord, don't let your word go in them, but let your word go through them. That, God, whether soever they go, let the word of God prosper through them to others. That, God, will thank you and give you the praise in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Give him a praise. Praise God. So as we see here, we see Elijah and Elisha. Now, Elijah has dropped the mantle on Elisha because God told him that you are to anoint Elisha in your place, say, to take place. So when God told him to do that, he had went by Elisha when Elisha was busy plowing his father's field behind 12 oxen. And Elijah went past him, walked past, and dropped his mantle on him and kept going. And so we see that the story as it began, that God had told him to drop that mantle. That mantle was an anointing from that prophet. And so he was receiving a prophet's anointing by the dropping of the mantle. And we have known that in the scripture it speaks about the anointing of those that are being anointed. There's 3 individuals that the scripture speaks about anointing. It speaks about anointing kings. Say kings. It speaks about anointing priests. Say priests. And it speaks about anointing prophets. Say prophets. So you see those anointings that God specifically had about anointing individuals. In the New Testament, Christ has allowed his disciples to flow under his anointing. Because as long as Jesus was here, his anointing flowed through his disciples. The Bible speaks about him breathing, blowing on his disciples that they received the Holy Spirit. And they went about performing miracles and signs and wonders. And Jesus had commanded, he said, "Wherever you go and they receive you, bless that house. But if they don't receive it, shake the dust off from them."
If you go into a city and they receive you, bless that city. If they do not receive you, shake the dust from them. And let them be a curse for not receiving you. Mm. So he had breathed on them the Holy Spirit. But then when Jesus was taken up, after 50 days, the Holy Ghost came. Say the Holy Ghost. I know in the modern vernacular we say the Holy Spirit, but that's all right too. You know, I'm not mad at you. But old folks and the OGs, the old gentlemen, and what we call old gentlemen, at least that's what I thought a young man was telling me. He said, "Hey, what's up, OG?" And I thought he was saying old gentleman, but instead he was saying old gangster. See, that was their real vernacular. But in other words, so God is declaring unto us that as we, in the older, we call it the Holy Ghost. So you don't mind this morning if I say the Holy Ghost, so just excuse that, but that's the way I've been brought up. Hallelujah. Been brought up with the Holy Ghost. Now, as the day of the 50th day, called the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out upon the upper room. And they went from 12 because God had spoke to them. And Jesus, when he was taken up, there was 500 that were seen by Jesus. Jesus saw 500 people see him being resurrected. Say resurrected. Because, see, 500 folks, you can imagine 500 people seeing Jesus alive. And so, as a result, here from 500, they were down to 120. And from 120, the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Ghost was poured on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Amen? So as a result of that, that's what God was speaking about here. He was saying in this place, he was saying this place that they first went to, that Elijah was taking, he says they begin in Gilgal. Say beginning. So Gilgal was considered as the beginning of a journey. And so what God had spoke to him, he had said in regards to, I'm getting ready to do something in your life, Elijah. And so I need you to let Elisha know that you're getting ready to go. And so he told him, God's getting ready to do something. God is telling me to move on, to go from Gilgal to Bethel. But Elisha said, no way, Jose, are you going to leave me? I'm going with you because there's something that you got that I need. It is something that is on your life that is attracting me, and I have stayed with you since you dropped that mantle on me. I'm going to stay with you. And so as a result of that, he kept on staying with the man of God. See, God has started something in your life. From the moment that Pastor Campbell and Sister Campbell stepped in here, God says there is something I am putting on your life that will change you and will transform you, that you will never be the same. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. There has been a transformation that has taken place in your life. Hallelujah. And some of you from the beginning have been with us on that journey. Am I right, Brother Ed Cadillo? See, and Mother Cadillo. See, from the beginning, they were here. Hallelujah. From the beginning, when God brought us here, these are, God has been, and they have stuck in there. Hallelujah. Say, stick in there. I mean, we have been through a journey. Hallelujah. Me and Brother Ed have been through a journey, but we still love each other, and we've grown closer. Why? Because there's a journey. And Brother Ed said, I don't care what happened. I'm staying here. I'm going to stay with what God is doing. And God has blessed. And God's going to bless that brother far beyond what he can imagine or think. Why? Because there's something about holding on to God. About holding on to God. See, some people will come and go. But if God didn't tell you to go, don't you leave. Don't you leave. I don't care how bad it did, how hot it did, how terrible it did. You stay until God tell you to go. Woo! And let me tell you about Gilgal. See, because the place where they're at, Gilgal is a place where they call, it was the first camp. Say the first camp. The first camp that Joshua went to when they crossed the Jordan was Gilgal. And when they went to Gilgal, it was there where they first encamped. And there is where God was doing something in their life. Oh, glory to God. Because listen, Gilgal was taken up, was considered as a place that they put 12 stones in memorial when they crossed over the Jordan. Was Gilgal. Those 12 stones speaks about completion. There's 12 gates in the city. There's 12 disciples to complete. There's 12 thrones for 12 people in heaven. And then God continues to deal with that number 12, but it's completion. And so God was saying, when they crossed over, they was completing their journey from the wilderness. See, God said they had wandered for 40 years, but when they crossed the Jordan, they put up those 12 stones. They didn't even know. But God said, this is a memorial unto me and unto you, that when you see these 12 stones, you know that your wilderness journey is over. Woo! See, so God was saying, that's where they went first. And this became the home base for the prophets. This is where they had the school of the prophets. It was in Gilgal. And so we show you that God has placed this as a spiritual school. You have been taught. And God has been put some. And so God is bringing you to your completion. You'll get that after a while. But he's bringing to a completion. And during that completion, say, guess what? It's only a starting point. I said it's only a starting point. And then he says, in that time, they went from there to Bethel. Say Bethel. Now, Bethel was considered a place of sanctuary. How did it become sanctuary? Because first, the history of Bethel was it was the royal city of the Canaanites. When Abraham was told by God to leave his countrymen and go into the land of Canaan, this was considered the royal city of the Canaanites. And yet God had already declared to Abraham, he says, this whole land is going to be yours and all your children. I'm going to give that all to you. See, this place, Bethel, was allotted to Benjamin. When Joshua was there, it was the tribe of Benjamin that this was their inheritance. Now stay with me now, because this is going to be quick. So what he said is that here, this place here, Bethel, became the place where God will reveal himself to Jacob. It was here where Jacob stopped. And he slept on a rock. Say, on a rock. The rock became his pillow. And when he was sleeping during the night, all of a sudden he had a vision. The heavens was open. And he saw angels ascending and descending from earth to heaven, up and down. And when he woke up, he took oil and anointed the rock. The rock in which he laid his head on. That he slept all night, that got the vision of heaven opening. You still with me? Now check this out. He used the rock to lay his head on, meaning that Christ became that rock in which you're to lay your head on. And that rock is anointed. Woo! That's what it means by Jesus Christ. He is the anointed one. That's what it is in Greek, meaning the sent one who is anointed by God. And God says, when you're in trouble, lay your head on the rock. Oh, for the rock is anointed. Oh, glory to God. And God said, he'll open up heaven to you. Woo! Yeah, you still with me? And so that's what you see. And then he went from there, because not only was it a center of spirituality, but they went from there to Bethel. Say Bethel. Uh-huh. See, Bethel likewise was that place where he was at Bethel, where they had was considered at that sanctuary. It was also when Jacob anointed it, he called it the house of God. You are in Bethel. I say you are in Bethel. He said, I called it the house of God. You are in Bethel. You are in Bethel. God says, this is the house of God. Anybody come in here senses the presence of God. Not because of the brick and the mortar and the building and the screen, but because of you. Look at your neighbor, says, he's here because you're here. Huh? See, you are the church. You are the building of God. You are the holy temple. And God says that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God dwells. So we are the temple of God. This is the house of God, because the people of God is the house of God. We bury the Spirit of God in us. Woo! Glory to God. See, and that's when he declares it. Glory to God. Oh, glory. And then he goes from Bethel. Now I'm going to give you the direction after a while. On this Bethel, he goes from Bethel to Jericho. Say Jericho. See, now Jericho was called the city that was walled up. It had walls all around. It couldn't be conquered. But as you know the story, even the little children in Sunday school class know that Jericho came down because of the marching of Israel around the walls. And they had to march around the wall silent. Now check this out. The city was locked up, walled up, shut up. And the people, God told them for 6 days, shut up. Lock your mouth up. Wall anything that you want to say, don't say it. So for 6 days, they walked in silence. Until the seventh day. And what happened on the seventh day? Talk to me, y'all. They what? I say, they what? Y'all don't sound like y'all doing. I said they what? I still don't hear you. I said they what? Oh yeah. See, they shouted. And with the shout, the walls came down, did it not? So God wanted him to understand. See, this is a place in which the house of God has to shout. See, old school, this is what shout was. I'm shouting, y'all. Am I right? See, that's old school. When you say I'm shouting, they be like, oh yeah, well, I'm shouting. Woo! Huh? And so I imagine that when they were shouting on the seventh day, you had some of the priests going, oh, that's all right. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Then you had the one that was cool, like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. They were not just shouting from the voice, but they were shouting in the dance. See, they were shouting in the celebration. And see, that's what God says. God said, I brought you into a shout. I brought you into a celebration. I brought you into a liberty to express yourself that you couldn't do before. See, that's the beauty of what God has brought you into in this fellowship. He's brought you into a liberty of expression. Now, the question is, don't go back. I say, don't go back. Look at your neighbor and say, don't go back. Don't go back to hallelujah, glory to God. Hymn number 5063. No Lord the God of man. Don't you go back. Oh, you pastor have to come back here and straighten. No, y'all. Oh, no, I said, y'all be, oh, Lord, all of a sudden I'll come up on the screen. What are you doing? And you don't wake up. Because, hey, we got technology now. I can Skype on you. Hello. Okay, I can Skype on you now. Oh, yeah, yeah, we got cameras in there. I tap in on that and see y'all. Oh, yeah, I see ya. Oh, glory to God. Huh? So from Jericho, then they went to Jordan. Say Jordan. See, and Jordan in itself, the Jordan, it means flowing downward. Flowing downward. And as I looked at the map and began to see where Jordan was, see, Jordan comes from the Sea of Galilee, and it branches off into four different rivers. And one of those rivers is the River Jordan. And the River Jordan is the greatest of all the rivers, except for one. It is the second greatest. And so what God had them to do is to cross over one of the great rivers when they came into the land. Because when Moses told Joshua to go over, they had to cross over the Jordan. And in order to do that, the priest had to go first. Oh, glory to God. See, the Red Sea, God parted. He breathed on it and the wind separated. He just blew on the wind, divided, and they walked through on dry land. And then when the Egyptians tried to go across, it just closed up on them. But when they got ready to cross the Jordan, God had a whole new generation. Say, whole new generation. And that generation was the baby, the desert babies. See? And those desert babies were born in the desert, in the wilderness. They had not seen all of the miracles that God did in Egypt to deliver the people of God. And so they only knew about provisions, how that God provided them food to eat, shelter. They had the basic needs being met. They didn't see God doing battle for them. And so God was getting ready to take them over into the promised land. And so in order to do that, during the wilderness, God taught them worship. Woo! Those 40 years, God taught them about worship. In those 40 years, they learned, they built the tabernacle. They learned about worship. And they learned about respect. Say respect. They learned what it meant to respect the leadership that God had appointed. Because everybody that went against the leadership, God took care of them right away. I mean, took them out. Boom. And so they learned respect and they learned worship. See, in that respect, God was letting them know, as you respect the leadership, you were respecting him. See, you disrespect the leadership, you were disrespecting God. So he didn't want them to fear the leadership. He just wanted them to respect it. See, there's a difference between fear and respect. See, fear is control. Respect is management. See, and so God was bringing them to that. And so this Jordan, when they got there, this time, God was telling them, this is the time in which they have to cross over. Say they have to cross over. See, the whole thing was God was putting them on a journey. God was putting Elisha on a journey because he wanted to bless him more than what he was expecting. And he was going to give him the double portion. But to get the double portion, he had to go on the journey and not quit. All right? Now, here we go. Are you with me? First, we find out in Gilgal, it is the starting point. Then we get to Bethel, and we have to go over. When you get to Bethel and go over, then you got to get to Jericho. And Jericho was a place where they had to back up. Now, you didn't get that. Now, what you thought I said was back up. But what he was saying, God was saying, go back to go up. Because in order to get there, they had to go back and then climb the mountain to get over. Oh, and God was saying that is that direction. Now, after they did that, then he says, once you have went back, because when we see things going back, we think it's failure. We think God has forgotten us. We think God has forsaken us. We think God is not thinking about us when things seem to be going backwards. But you don't know that God is in control of the steps of the righteous. And the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. See, and God may make you think that things are going backwards. But when you think they're going backwards, oh, they're not going backwards. God just trying to give you a chance to back up so you can climb that mountain, honey. See, you don't know. You need that distance to get, because if you're too close, you can't get it. You're going to struggle to get there. But God says, back up so you can get the strength and get the level where when you get ready to climb, there's no stopping. And then you can tackle that mountain. And there you go, going on up the mountain. See, that's what God was saying. Because once you get up to the mountain, God says, I'm going to bring you down to the water of Jordan. Oh, see, that's the outpouring that you've been creating. That's what you don't realize, that this morning you were saying, Lord, rain down the rain. Rain down the rain. Oh, but you don't know, God is not going to bring a rain. God's bringing a flood. God says, I'm bringing a flood in my spirit. He said, when my spirit begin to come, it's going to come like a tidal wave. It's going to wipe you all out. Oh, it's going to come through like a wave. And you just boom, bam, 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 just fall out. Woo! That's what he means. And notice that the Jordan, he said, is split up in four different directions. God says, when he get through with you, God says, you're going to go in four different directions, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. Well, God says, that's where I'm going to put. He said, when I put my spirit in you and I put my anointing on you, when I get through with you, you're going to go to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. You're going to take the word. You're going to be powerful. You're going to be anointed. You're going to break down walls. You're going to break down walls. So you may not know, but my wife and I, we have been through some things just shortly. What we had to do is just stand on God's promise. Because you can't go by what you see in the natural. You have to go by what God tells you. And so this thing that we were going through just this week, and as we was going through it, God put people in your life many times to bless you and to test you. Hello. He does. He put people in your life to bless you and to test you. Because just when we thought things was okay, the testing came. The testing always comes before the blessing. And the testing, God began to test us in the situation. And so what we had to do is just trust the Lord. And like I say, God sent people to test you and some people to bless you. And God blessed us with a young lady who was just like an angel. God said, and she just said, just trust me, Pastor. Just trust me. And that's what I had to do. I had to, okay, I got to leave it in your hand. God, because you said you ordered my steps. I got to trust you. See, sometimes we think when God says trust him, we just want to trust God. I trust God, but I don't trust you. I don't trust you. We won't trust people, but I trust God. But like I said, God sent people to bless you. And sometimes most of the time, you have to trust people. Say, trust people. Turn around to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I trust you. Yeah, I saw some of you like, I don't know, but I'll try. give me a little while, I might trust you. No. When it comes time to trust, you can't put any hooks on it, Kenny. You can't put any strings on trust. See, trust is letting go. I say trust is letting go, not worrying. Or fearful. Am I right? We just saw that. Trusting is not worrying. See? And that is letting go and trust God. And the temptation is to step in and help God. because he's not doing it on the time that you think. You're like, Lord, I need you to help me in like 3 minutes. We put that time on God. Give me, Lord, 3 minutes. I mean, you got 2 more minutes to go, Lord, for you to get to do this. When God says trust, he says take the limit off. Take the time off. Now, one of the key things to do when you're trusting God is to rest. How many know it's hard to rest when you're trying to wait? But guess what? You wait at the doctor's office all day. All day. And guess what? Everybody's appointment's at 9 o'clock. You think you're the only one. You get there. I'm going to get there early. You get there early. Everybody there. You know, you got people standing outside the door waiting. And oh, yeah. Everybody's appointment at 9 o'clock. They do that deliberately. And so you go in there and go to sign your name. You find out you're number 20. Whoa, my God. And I got here early. Yeah, they got here before you. So you got to understand, waiting, is a part of life. So you got to learn that. So I learned that in the service, military service, because everywhere we went, there was a line. And the lines in the army, they're not 10 people, they're hundreds of folks in front of you. Come to eat, man, there's hundreds, you know. One battalion is thousands of guys. And you may be somewhere number 999 on the 1,000 list. And when you leave there, you're going to go to another line. It's nothing but lines, lines and lines and lines. So I learned to learn that patience, because you can frustrate all you want, but you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. You're still going to have to wait your turn. Don't leave the line. I said, don't leave the line. You leave the line, you lose your place. Now, they didn't hold your place. Now, in the military, there was no holding your spot. Now, your friends don't hold your spot, and there's no holding spots now. No, they don't play that. Because you think you hold your spot, you got 20 people that will beat you down. Hallelujah. So here God was saying, I'm bringing you to that place. That I'm bringing you to a place of a double anointing. God wants to pour out a double anointing to bless you so that you might receive. All my board members, come here. Oh, I don't have to lift it. I got wheels on this now. Roll them, roll them, roll them. Roll that on out of here. That's one of Pastor's new inventions, a rolling. Yep. All my board members up here. Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, the journey that God has begun in this body of believers, as you came here, God put you on a journey. And in that journey, there has been a transformation and a continuous transformation. You see that you're constantly being changed and transformed. Get on up here, Pat. My armor bearer. Come on, Brother Ed. Get up here. See, God has declared, see, this is your leaders. You respect them. You respect God. God has placed them in the place of leadership. They have an awesome responsibility that has been laid on their shoulders in regards to being able to bring the church to a level of being able to accept the new shepherd. Now, the board members, they have the responsibility of looking and screening candidates. It's not easy to do that. See? Because they have to need the Spirit of God to guide them to the right person, because the right shepherd will be the right fit. And if it don't fit, it causes confusion, it causes hurt, it causes wound, it causes devastation to the body here. They need your prayers. So when you go to pray on your daily prayer, you see their face. And you lift up them before God. God, give them wisdom. Give them direction. Lord, help them to discern what leader you would want. Not what I want. Not what you want, but what God wants. Because God knows the perfect match. He knows. And that's why you got to pray for them. They need your prayer. And I solicit your prayers for them. Me and co-pastor, we will be praying for them too. But God spoke to me and told me, he said, anoint them. Because they need a double portion of wisdom and direction and guidance and staying power. Because you don't know how long it may take. Sometimes things can happen quickly, and sometimes it may take a period of time. But wait. I want you to speak to them. Tell them, wait. Tell it like you mean it. Because they're going to need to know how to wait on the Lord. To seek him, his direction. Because they need it. Extend your hands toward them. Glory to God. Father, I thank you for this elder. God, you have done a marvelous work in his life, Lord. You have knitted our hearts together. And God, we have been through such a powerful journey, Lord. And I ask, God, that you continuously heal his body, restore him. Let his latter years be greater than his former years. Open up doors that no man can close, God. Make provisions for him. Provide for him and his family, oh God. You direct his steps. Give him more wisdom, Lord, into the things that you would have him to do. We'll continue to give you the praise. God, I thank you for this pastor, God. You know his heart. God, you know his desire, Lord. God, I ask for the wisdom and direction and the anointing of God on this. Give him a double portion, God, of your spirit. Pour it in him. Lord, give him such an anointing that, God, even at the preaching of the word, as he preached the word, people will get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Healing will take place. Signs and wonders. Just as he speak the word, let the word be the power full of the anointing of God in his life, God. Let it be stirred, God, in him. Lord, I thank you for David, this armor bearer. God, that call on his life for ministry. Continuously guide and direct his steps. You provide, make provisions. God, you bring him to a place that no man can stop, God. When men think, Lord, that he's limited and can't do it, God, you tell him he can. When they say that he only got a certain age and limited knowledge, God, you give him your wisdom. God, you gave wisdom to a young king who was just a teenager. God, give him wisdom way beyond his years, way beyond what the doctors or the physical can tell him. Let him flow in the spirit, flow in the anointings of God upon his life, oh God. God, I thank you for Sam. God, do a mighty work in him. Oh God, I thank you, God, for that call on his life, God. And I know it, Lord, from being a musician, Lord. That God, when you start working in my life, I thought I was going to be a music teacher. I thought I was going to do music. But God, you took a turn in my life. Call me into ministry. Above all, I said, okay, I'll do ministry. But I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. Oh God, Lord, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, God, what you got for this man of God. God, continue to make him open and receptive. I thank you for what you've done. Lord, he's been pulled out of his comfort zone. Now, God, pull him even more. Pull him stronger. Pull him into the deep. The deep calleth unto him. Call him into the deep things of God. That God, that there will be no limitation on him. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for Anthony. Lord, Antonio, for Lord, responding to the call. Raising up, Lord, this spiritual son. Lord, that is taking on the mantle. Lord, continue to do the work in his life, Lord. From this day forward, God, bring him. Lord, give him that wisdom and knowledge, Lord. Lord, the school can only give him the tools. But only you can anoint. Ha! Oh, only you can endow. Only you can move and stir. You do it, God. What no professor, no teacher, no schooling can do. That only you can do. Bless him and his mate and his wife, Lord. As they continue in this journey. Be with them, Lord. As they go from Gilgal to Bethel. Ha! To the presence of God. To the house of the Lord. To the fullness of God. Complete that work, God. God, I thank you for Sandy. God, continue to give her wisdom and ministry, Lord. Lord, I pray today, break the shell, Lord. Break the shell. Break the shell, God. The shell of just thinking that she was just to be a leader. God, she didn't take those classes for nothing. God, you've called her for ministry. Pull her out of that, Lord. That inhibition. God, bring her and bring forth that exposure. That's exposure. Bring her, God. Now give her new strength, Lord. New strength. Lord, that sacrifice that she's made over and over. God is not in vain. God says it's not in vain. God says greater is your reward. Great is your reward. It's just the beginning. God says it's just your beginning. Glory to God. God, thank you for Carl, God. A generational. God says that generation being passed on from father to father. Oh, God. Double portion. Yes. Oh, God. Lord, you open that door, Lord, for that study of ministry, Lord. God says he's going to be the mentor. God says he is the new mentor. God says as Elijah, Lord, saw Elisha go up, God became his mentor. Yes, God said it's coming. God says he's the new mentor. God says you follow his steps. Jesus said, I am your new mentor. And follow my steps and see what I do for you, saith the Lord. I will bring you into new territory. God, new territory. New territory. Glory to God. Spiritual territory. Natural territory. Oh, God says, I'm getting ready to bring you in. God said, be of good courage. Be of courage. Don't let fear begin to hinder. Oh, because he said, when I show it to you, it might scare you. When I begin to open your eyes, begin to give you visions and dreams. But God says, you press forward. Press forward unto God. Press forward unto the call. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for this young armor bearer, God. You've done a work in his life, God. God, you've brought such a closeness in our hearts, God. You've knitted our hearts together. God, you continue to bless him and bless his wife. God, continue to give him strength. God, I ask that a double blessing be upon him. God, you make provisions for him that, God, that he have yet to see. God, open up doors that no man can close. God, you make provisions. God, you give him that double portion. God, because he's ministered, Lord, to the hand of a prophet, God, let him receive that reward. Let him receive double portion of that reward, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we break every hope. Glory to God. 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 Now, you stir it up. Stir up those, that gift and those gifts that God has put in you. Stir it up. What do you mean by stir it? As God put it in your hands and put it in your mind and put it in your heart, you keep stirring it. Keep using it. It may start out very little, but the more you stir it, the greater it shall become. The greater it shall become. The greater it shall become. The story that God put in you, stir it. And as you stir it, God's going to give increase. See? Because he's put it in you. And the story. Stir it up. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise. Glory to God. Glory. You may be seated. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, before I turn it over to Sandy, I want First Lady to come and talk.